More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. As we've heard on our Project Milwaukee series this week, Wisconsin utilities are required to generate 10% of their electrical power by renewable sources, such as biomass, wind, and solar. That last source has been harnessed for decades, but only recently have its costs come down enough to make widespread use more appealing. The technology has also improved so that states outside the Sun Belt, such as Wisconsin, can capture and use solar power. But a problem in these less sunny states has always been in storage, so that solar power's delivery is uninterrupted, even on a cloudy day. Enter Hongrui Zhang, a scientist at UW-Madison. Zhang says he took a page from science fiction in approaching that challenge and has worked out a micro-scale design that balances solar energy harvesting, storage, and usage. But the device has far wider applications than what it was originally developed for. Speaking by Skype from Madison, Zhang told Lake Effect's Bonnie North about the impetus for his work.
We all know that the green energy has become more and more important. We're looking for a solution that is using the sustainable energy sources. And the solar energy, obviously, has been long sought because the sun is always going to be there for a long time. But the energy problem mainly has been broken down into two. One is the energy harvesting. So you have the source and how you collect that energy and convert it to electricity that we can all use. And the second part of the problem, which is sometimes overlooked, which is storage. We're all familiar with the batteries, the capacitors that can store the energy for us. But currently, most of the approaches are taking these two solutions into two different routes. So either solve the energy harvesting problem or handling the storage problem itself. More and more applications, we're looking into combining these two together. So it would be highly desirable to have one device that can perform the energy harvesting, the conversion of the solar energy in this case, and the electricity storage at the same time. So that will, in that case, we can get a dual functionality, multi-functionalization, especially important for miniaturization because you can look for smaller form factor devices, which has both functions at the same time.
Has storage of generated solar power been a vexing issue in the past, or was it the combination of these two different things, as you say, the harvesting and the storage in one device that was the issue?
Well, I should look at that into a context. For instance, if you have a solar panel on the roof, chances are you also have a battery that will be charged by the electricity. If your solar panel converts the electrons, and those electrons can be put into power grid as well, can be used for later, and you can probably get some credit for that. But if you're looking at more localized application, for instance, suppose we are talking about a small solar panel for a traffic light, for instance, right? If you can have a more self-sustained systems that can convert energy, store it for night use, that will be more efficient than running the power through the lines. So it's not like there is no solution at all at the moment. It's just like it would be better to be able to store the converted energy right there at the solar panel for later use.
The application that you envision right now, as you say, is on a much smaller scale. It's even micro applications, perhaps.
Right.
Can this be scaled up to something larger?
Oh, definitely. A little bit of history about this project. This project is supported by National Institute of Health. The project is about making a tunable contact lens to correct the presbyopia for senior citizens. Presbyopia is basically farsightedness, and you lose some accommodation power of your eye.
Right. It's when you need reading glasses as you get
correct.
Older.
Correct. Yeah. So if you have a tunable lens, which means basically to compensate or to recover some of the lost accommodation power, that would be great. But for that, what we are envisioning is to make a tunable lens embedded within the contact lens to realize that. But then there's the sticking problem. Where do we get the power energy? Where get the energy? How do we provide the power source? It's not simply like having a little solar panel and then have a little battery in there. We don't have enough space for everything. So this project started with the mindset that, okay, we have to integrate everything together. So it started with the micro scale, but at the same time, it can be able to scale up, obviously. So I do not have any doubt that ultimately can be scaled up to much larger solar panels, the farms, things like that. But there's a caveat, though. If your energy is directly fed into a large power grid, then that's okay because it's going to be utilized, transmitted throughout the whole power grid. But if you're looking at more localized application, for instance, it's more self-sustained application, then I think this would be ideal.
So the idea with the original study is the contact lens, the tunable contact lens, is that this technology is embedded in the lens itself. So when the user looks at the sun, it charges?
Oh, it doesn't have to be looking to the sun. I mean, we cannot look into the sun directly. We cannot see anything. It's going to be totally blinded. But the idea is that if you have sunlight, for instance, environment in the surroundings, then the light will be able to charge the solar harvesting devices. And at the same time, some of that energy, electricity, will be stored within the device as well. For instance, if you're driving, you're going through a tunnel, then you would not lose the capability of the devices, electronic devices.
I'm just stunned at the idea of being able to, I wear contact lenses, and to be able to wear something like that and have all of that in there, that's just amazing to me.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
It's a little bit sci-fi, but we hope we will make it a reality.
Well, and assuming that it does, and it sounds like it's going to become a reality, and assuming that, you know, we can scale it up to use, as you say, either on a, you know, say a traffic light scale or even perhaps on a grid level scale.
A microgrid or smaller scale grid. For instance, a remote village or along the highway, where sometimes it's very inefficient cost-wise to run the power line just to get access to a small area. So if it happens to be that area to have a lot of sunlight available, then why not use it?
How do you think a device like this might impact the economics of solar power? I mean, would utility companies, larger power producers, be looking to incorporate something like this into their systems?
I sure hope so. I hope the obstacle will be lower. Of course, first of all, what we realize here is a prototype. Scientifically, we show that it's possible. The next thing is that we need to refine it. We need to keep increasing the performance. And then later on, there's going to be engineering issue. We have to make it a large scale, cost effective, manufacturing, those kind of things. And ultimately, I want to emphasize that this is not about, you know, fundamentally changing the solar energy industry. It's adding more capabilities, adding more functionalities to it.
How quickly do you think this could come to market, assuming that you get any obstacles fixed or, you know, problems solved as you refine it?
Well, that's a great question. From a scientific research, it takes some time to get to the market. I think that's always the case. In this case, I think it's going to be about 10 to 15 years. So we need about 5 more years to do the scientific research, more fundamental scientific research, so that we understand better what kind of a performance limit, how much the energy conversion efficiency we can get, how much storage can we get. To answer those questions first, obviously, it's very important. Then I think it's going to take about 10 years to go out of the research laboratory to more like an entrepreneurship type of small company. So the technology is mature enough to go to a larger scale. So I would say 10 to 15 years, probably.
Okay, so not immediately, but certainly not decades and decades away.
Right, not that far-fetching, because we are taking advantage of the establishment of a solar energy at this stage. It has been ongoing for a long time, and in the past 5-10 years, we have been seeing a lot of explosion in terms of the development of the solar energy industry and the technology. So we are definitely taking advantage of that fact and what other people have done so far.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with it. And please let us know how things go as you perfect them.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
Hongrai Zhang is the Vilas Distinguished Achievement Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering at UW-Madison. He and his students developed what he describes as a self-sustaining solar power source. Their results were published this month in the journal Advanced Materials. Research is ongoing. He spoke with Bonnie North. One last break, and then we'll talk music and anti-wind power activism with a Wisconsin woman with feet in both worlds. That's when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.